You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. A Wausau woman has amassed a collection of memorabilia that showcases funeral practices from the past.
As Glenn Moberg reports, her hobby evokes strong reactions as it illuminates a dark corner of our history.
Kathy Volkman, the curator of artifacts for the Marathon County Historical Society, has a curious obsession. She calls it her death collection.
I collect pretty much anything that's related to the social history of death, you know, mostly in the Victorian era into the early 1950s.
Volkman says in those days, people were at home with death. They even displayed corpses in their living rooms.
They would have brought a cooling board and would have embalmed the person right in the house or perhaps on the porch, would have brought a casket along, laid them out. The florist would have sent flowers.
Kathy Volkman looks at four long tables filled with her morbid memorabilia and points to a photo of a beautiful young woman. She died in her hometown of Wausau from tuberculosis. Her body is surrounded by flowers.
All over the casket. They are on the walls of the house. They are on the floor. They are on stands, roses, and lilies. This magnitude of flowers now would probably be several $1,000s.
And there's a photo from 1910, purchased in Merrill, of a dead baby.
A very young child, I'm going to say 6 months old, in a very ornate casket, probably lined with white and flowers all around the casket, and the child looking very peaceful.
More than half of the photos in Kathy Volkman's collection are of dead children.
In those early years of photography, everybody didn't have a camera at home, so it's very likely that the only picture of your loved one was when they were dead.
In the early days of photography, there was an advantage to that too, wasn't there?
Well, photographers actually liked to work with postmortem photography because their subjects never moved.
The collection includes a century-old sick call set from Madison, used to administer last rites in Catholic households. And it includes a 1940s catalog from an embalming supply house.
Even though this is 60 years old, it's pretty much still the same stuff that they use. The same implements, the same knives, cosmetic brushes, embalming tables, spatulas for doing makeup, forceps, injection tubes, everything a funeral home would need.
Including eye caps to make sure that when you look at a corpse, it doesn't look back at you.
A contact lens that has a bunch of pointy things on it. So when you put the lens in the eye, you just pull the eyelids over it, and the projectiles hold your eyelid closed.
Not all of the death memorabilia is old. There's a do-it-yourself coffin manual.
You basically measure yourself, determine how big of a casket you need. It has directions on how to make it yourself.
You can even decorate your home with your homemade coffin.
Till you need it, it's a different piece of furniture for you. It might be a coffee table. It might be a bookcase that's in your living room. But then when you die, you just take the books out, lay it down, and it's your casket.
Kathy Volkman's hobby has garnered her a nickname. Friends call her the Queen of Death and give her unusual gifts.
These were given to me for Christmas 1 year, I believe, and one says Here Lies Salt, the other is Here Lies Pepper, and they are shaped like headstones, and it is not my only set of headstone salt and pepper shakers.
Volkman says she's used to strong reactions when she shows off her death collection.
There are two kinds of people. There are people who are absolutely fascinated and can't stop looking and have 1,000 questions, and there are the people who are totally mortified and disgusted and think it's the worst thing that they've ever seen in their life. There's no in between.
But for Kathy Volkman, it's all about history. She says the way we treat death tells us a lot about the way we treat the living. In Wausau, I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Glenn, thanks for that report.
And it is Halloween, as you all know, and many people across Wisconsin are looking for a good scare tonight. Well, luckily for them, they don't have to go far because Wisconsin is home to any number of haunted locations.
We have Chad Lewis with us now. He's a paranormal researcher based in Wisconsin. He's written over 15 books on the supernatural, including the Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations and the Most Gruesome Hauntings of the Midwest. Chad, welcome to Central Time.
Happy Halloween to you.
And to you as well, Chad. So you've spent a lot of time tracking down the most haunted places in Wisconsin. What's it like when you go to a supposedly at least haunted site for the first time?
Yes, these places are just magnificent. That a lot of them are secluded. They have an eeriness to them. And even if you don't believe in spirits and hauntings, I always say that when you go to these places, if you're not getting scared, you're probably not trying hard enough.
So tell me a little bit about, first of all, how you find these places. I mean, there are plenty of places to choose from, but would you get tips? And then how do you decide whether they're something you want to act on?
Sure. every week I receive about 200 emails from around the country of people that are having paranormal activity of some sort. They think their home's haunted, they saw a creature in the woods they can't identify, etc. And most of them, obviously, I can't take because they're a ways away, and I try to find something that sticks out. Also, I look for places that are open to the public because I hope that people won't just take my word for it, but they'll go and investigate and try to figure out for themselves whether or not these places are haunted.
And you're looking for kind of, when you do your best of type list, you're looking for the classics, right? Not just somebody last year thought they saw something, but something that has a legend associated with it, right?
Yes, I was looking for places that not only had a long history of haunting, but it also had to be current. I didn't want places where somebody had seen something in 1904 and it never appeared. I also wanted multiple witnesses that were explaining the same type of paranormal activity, that over the years, similar things seem to happen. So I wanted these cases with a long history, which makes it much more likely that something's going to happen when you visit.
So when you make a visit to one of these places, understanding that spirits may or may not be cooperating on any given day, how do you find out whether there's anything there? Do you use instruments? Do you just use your senses? Or how does that work?
Well, the first thing I like to do is try to sort fact from fiction. If there's a story of a man who murdered his family and now they're haunting the homestead, I want to find out if that really happened. So I dig through all the historical archives, talk to seniors at the Historical Society, talk to teenagers. But then I actually go there, and yes, I bring a ton of equipment trying to figure out what these people are seeing and what's happening.
And how often do you discover something that maybe surprises you?
Quite a bit. Now, usually things that happen are small things. We've captured balls of light on our video or our cameras, or voices that we couldn't pick up with the naked ear appear on our audio recorders. Or some of the psychics I bring with me often claim that they've been pushed or pinched by these spirits. But most of the time, you'll find something, some adventure to these places, some historic legend that, even if it's not quite accurate as to the real story, people still have experiences there.
Now, in a recent piece that ran in Wisconsin Trails, you write that the most haunted place in the state, at least that you know about, is the former site of the Summerwind Mansion near Land O'Lakes. And I'd heard of that, but tell us a little bit about that and what makes it the most haunted place, at least in your estimation, in Wisconsin.
Yes, a beautiful early 1900s mansion way up in the northwoods of Wisconsin. And why I love this one is we have reports going back 100 years of strange things happening. Back when the house was in its grand entrance, people that lived there were so afraid of these ghosts and spirits that they actually shot at them with their guns. And back when the house was completely standing, you could go there and see the bullet holes in the doors and the walls from where the previous owners had, out of desperation or panic, shot at these spirits. And since the place has been all but nearly demolished, only the foundation is still there, it seems as though the hauntings have only increased.
Well, do people go there looking for hauntings and find what they're looking for?
Yes, and what I find fascinating is that this is not a place you're going to stumble onto. It's very hard to locate, so people that go there for the purpose of seeing it. And what I found very interesting is that many people who have gone there told me that they felt like they were drawn there by some unknown force, that they didn't know why. They maybe saw a special on it on TV or read about it in several of the books that contain the story. But since that point, they just felt like they had to go there for some reason. And many of them feel like when they're there, that it's a spiritual type place, that this is the place they should have been, and they were drawn to it.
Is that the kind of feeling you get when you're there?
No. Well, if there's a list of people with, you know, psychic ability, I'm probably last on that list. But being there, when you go there and psychics tell you they don't want to get out of the car because they're picking up on too much negative energy, that's when I love being there. That even, again, if you don't believe in it, it's out in the middle of nowhere when the wind's howling and you're out there at, you know, the wee hours of the night, nobody around. You can't help but to be overcome by some of the creepiness of it.
That's the thing. Can a hardened skeptic still enjoy the legends and the sights themselves?
Yes, and there are many dares in Wisconsin that you can take, that if you do this dare, the legend will come true. In Green Lake at Dartford Cemetery, the dare is that if you sit on the mausoleum, you'll be pushed to the ground by the spirits of those inside. And I actually was speaking at a conference there, and afterward, a woman came up to me and she said, you know, I'm a skeptic. I sat out there last night on the mausoleum. I wasn't pushed to the ground. She said, in fact, she said, I don't even think it's haunted. Well, I was relieved because this woman was in her 70s out there looking to get pushed to the ground by angry ghosts.
Not good to be pushed by anyone at that age. Well, we're talking with Chad Lewis about the most haunted locations in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you. Is there a haunted place or a legend in your area, in your neck of the woods? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. Do you do what Chad does and find out about these sites and pay him a visit? Again, you can call 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll get to your calls coming up in a few. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're continuing our conversation with Chad Lewis about the scariest places in Wisconsin. And don't forget, you can join us if you've got a scary place you'd like to suggest, a haunted house in the state someplace. 800-642-1234.
So, Chad, we mentioned that piece in Wisconsin Trails. Washington Island has a haunted site, a good ghost story there. Tell us about Tom Nelson.
He was the former owner. He actually built the place, and he loved it. He was a fan of the liquor bitters. He would drink up to a pint a day of it for good health.
Wow.
And unfortunately,
I'm haunted by that right off the bat.
Yeah, that's scary in itself, isn't it?
Yep.
But he unfortunately is no longer with us. Well, scratch that. He's no longer alive, but many people still think he's haunting his former establishment. And believe it or not, the most common report I get from people, it comes from the women's restroom, that many women will be using the restroom when all of a sudden they see the ghostly image of a man hovering over them, watching them. And most of them are so terrified, not only do they leave the restroom, they leave the place altogether. And, you know, phantom footsteps have plagued the above apartment where old man Nelson lived and died. Bottles go flying across the bar only to land on a table as though they were perfectly set down by some unseen hand. So all kinds of weird things happen at the bitter capital of the world.
One other place I'd like to talk about, I'm from the La Crosse area, and so I have passed many a happy hour at the Bodega Brew Pub in downtown La Crosse, and that made your list of the most haunted places in the state. And I have to say, the times I've been there, I hadn't really noticed any things, but I have to say I may have been otherwise occupied.
Right. Most people go there for a different kind of spirit. But when they show up, they get all kinds of things, not only staff members, but guests as well. But staff told us they would be tapped on the back while closing up. Nobody's there. They'll hear their name being called. But it seems like a lot of the activity happens in the basement. Staff would have to go down there to put up inventory, and they'd turn around and then find something was moved or cases were stacked that weren't previously stacked. And people have actually seen what appears to be a woman with heavy boot-like things on her feet, clogs or boots or something, walking around inside only to disappear right before their eyes.
Well, I've been in that basement, and I can attest to the fact that it is extraordinarily creepy.
We'll go to the phones. We'll go to the phones now. We've got Brian with us in Eau Claire. Brian, hi.
Hi. I grew up in Clintonville, and near Clintonville, in a town called Shawnee, there was a place called the Novitiate, and it was a place notorious for teenage kids to dare themselves to go out and have rather eerie situations happen. You know, there was the rumor that satanic worship happened around it, and it was just a building that was crumbling to the ground and just a very spooky area.
Brian, did you ever take up the dare and hang out there?
I and a couple of friends had in the past, and it was, although maybe most of the fright was coming from my compatriots, it was definitely a situation I wouldn't want to go to alone.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for sharing that one, Brian. Is that one you've heard of, Chad, or did we just add one to your list to check out?
Yes, just added another one. But he brings up a great point that a lot of these dares are meant to be tests of bravery, that you can go almost a rite of passage, that you can show your friends that you'll do this dare without fear. And a lot of people really enjoy doing them.
We had one of those in my hometown. I never did it. I think that describes my personality to this day.
We have another email.
Maybe why you're still alive.
Maybe.
That's a good point. We've got an email here, Chad. Does Chad know anything about the Stone Cellar Brew Pub in Appleton? I have to say, I am not familiar with that.
No, not in Appleton. I mean, Appleton's famous for their lot of ghosts from the Hearthstone Restaurant, Curling Club, Cape Blood Cemetery, but I haven't heard of that one.
Wait a minute. Gene Purcell is a curler from way back. I've got to hear about the curling-related ghost in Appleton.
Is this like an old curler who's out there like shouting and confusing the other players or what?
Pretty close. Actually, it's a lot of the current curlers will be on the ice when they look up into the observation booth and they see the ghostly image of a infamous curler from years past who had died many years ago. He had a very distinct walk, and many people, the cleaning staff, while working late at night, will hear him walking upstairs, that walk that he was well known for. But when they go to investigate, he can't be found. And it's many of the curlers think he's looking on for good luck. So I guess they'll take whatever they can get.
Well, it's hard to let go of the game, you know?
Yeah, I've heard.
All right, well, you've got another one, Hitchhiker Stories in your Haunted Wisconsin lore, including you write about in that Haunted Places article, The Phantom Man of Highway 12. What can you tell us about that?
Well, he runs up all the way through Baraboo, the Wisconsin Dells, and further north. It's always on Highway 12. And the most common report I get from people is they're traveling at night, not exclusively, but most of them, when all of a sudden they see a man on the side of the road hitchhiking. Of course, nobody picks up hitchhikers anymore, so they just slow down to avoid hitting him. And he noticed that he seems to be wearing a green army-type jacket. So they keep going about their way, only to go down the road a few miles to see what appears to be the very same man hitchhiking in front of them. Slowing down to get a better look, they often describe him, again, in that green jacket, but almost transparent. They can almost see right through him. And many motorists have told me that he's disappeared right before their eyes. So who or what he is, we don't know, but he's very active on Highway 12.
Wow, that reminds me of the creepiest Twilight Zone episode that I can't think about too much, Going My Way. The hitchhiker keeps reappearing throughout it.
That's a good one. Maybe somebody saw that while they were near Baraboo. Mm-hmm. One never knows. We have a tweet here from Brendan who mentions, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, Loch LaBelle in Oconomowoc. He says the legend there is that the statue will cry. I have not heard of that. It does.
Yes, in LaBelle Cemetery in Oconomowoc, one of the stories is that this young woman drowned in Fowler Lake, which is right next to the cemetery, and the statue in question can actually see the lake from where it's resting. And legend is that blood not only will ooze out of the statue, but many believe that the statue will come to life, walk down to the lake, and recreate the woman's death. And witnesses I've spoken with were not so afraid that they had just seen a statue come to life. They were more afraid by the fact that as soon as it went into the water, when they turned around, it was right back in its original location as though it had never moved.
You know, it's interesting, as I look down that list of stories that you provided and listening to you talk, how many of these hauntings are of big life events, you know, stories of brides that were killed on their wedding night, people who killed themselves or died accidentally under tragic circumstances. And it just sort of goes to show how pervasive this idea of accidental death and how dramatic it is and how it sticks with people over time.
It does. I mean, these stories are the tales of suicides, untimely deaths, accidents, murders, serial killers. But I should note that I also get a lot of reports from people who believe their relatives are coming back to visit them, and they take comfort and solace in seeing grandma or smelling grandfather's cigar on the anniversary of his death. Things like that. They feel comforted that their loved one's telling them they're in a better place.
Other than ghost-related stories, any other interesting paranormal sites out there in Wisconsin, and where would we go to find it?
Yes, tonight, if you're interested, head over to Mineral Point, where you might encounter the vampire of Graceland Cemetery. Back in 81, a police officer actually reported what he thought was a tall, ugly, pale, thin vampire, and he gave chase to it where it disappeared into the night. But since that fateful evening, people have been seeing vampires all over Mineral Point.
So that was 1981 or 1881?
1981.
Wow.
And the police officer quit the police force. He moved away, and he refused to talk about his sighting ever again because all the media descended upon Mineral Point the day after his sighting.
Well, Chad, I'm going to be giving out candy tonight, but what does paranormal researcher Chad Lewis do come Halloween evening?
I'm heading to one of the first cases I ever investigated right outside of my hometown of Eau Claire, an old Elk Lake Dam bridge where a woman was murdered in 1974, and her spirit's been seen ever since. And I've spent the last 20 years now out there on Halloween, and I'm hoping, you know, knock on wood here, that I'll make it to 21.
All right. Chad, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, keep an eye out.
All right. That's Chad Lewis. He's a paranormal researcher in Wisconsin, author of The Wisconsin Road Guide to Haunted Locations. And remember, you can always tweet us. What are you doing for Halloween tonight? Hitting a haunted site? Find us on Twitter. We're called Central Time WPR.
Or perhaps join Chad near Eau Claire. Coming up next, we'll be taking a look inside the New York Police Department's Secret Spying Unit. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.